Good morning, and welcome to the Tyson Foods Investor Update conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Jon Kathol, Vice President of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us to discuss Tyson Foods' acquisition of Keystone Foods. On today's call are Tom Hayes, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Stewart Glendinning, Chief Financial Officer. Slides accompanying today's remarks are available on the Investor Relations website at ir.tyson.com. Tyson Foods issued a news release this morning, which has been furnished to the SEC on Form 8-K and is available on our website at ir.tyson.com. Our remarks today include forward-looking statements, including statements regarding the expected consummation of the Keystone acquisition. Please refer to today's news release regarding the acquisition for our cautionary statement regarding forward-looking statements. I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded on Monday, August 20th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. A replay of today's call will be available on Tyson's website approximately 1 hour after the conclusion of this call. This broadcast is the property of Tyson Foods, and any redistribution, retransmission, or rebroadcast of this call in any form without the express written consent of Tyson Foods is strictly prohibited. I'll now turn the call over to Tom Hayes.
Very good. Thank you very much, John, and thank you for everybody that's joining us on such short notice. You know, our M&A strategy, which we've talked a lot about repeatedly in the past, is focused on four criteria. And when we consider a company, whether a company is a right fit, we ask ourselves four questions. Number one, could it bring us new brands? Number two, does it have capabilities that we don't have? Number three, will it provide scale and synergies associated with that scale? And does it offer new geography access or new markets? So we need to answer yes to at least one of those key questions, and Keystone Foods is a big yes to three of the four. We're expanding our value-added protein portfolio and adding to our capabilities. We're gaining additional scale and extending our supply chain to better serve key food service customers. And Keystone offers a significant foundation for international growth with operations and exports in the fast-growing Asia-Pacific region, as well as exports in the key markets in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. Keystone's international presence and proven track record will transform Tyson Foods' existing capabilities in the region and promote further international expansion and exports opportunities. At this point, I'm going to ask Stewart to take us through some of the specifics on the transaction. Stewart.
Thanks, Tom, and good morning, everyone. Tyson Foods is acquiring Keystone Foods from Marfrig Global Foods for just under $2.16 billion in cash, a valuation of 8.3 times its last 12 months adjusted EBITDA, inclusive of expected synergies. We expect the transaction to be accretive to GAAP EPS in the third year and accretive to adjusted EPS in the first year, excluding transaction-related costs and the incremental depreciation and amortization associated with the transaction. We expect to generate annual synergies of about $50 million by the third year, driven by operational efficiencies, procurement savings, distribution, supply network optimization, and other opportunities. We anticipate closing in mid-fiscal 2019. Based on the trailing 12 months ended June 30th, 2018, the pro forma net debt to pro forma adjusted EBITDA ratio would be around 2.7 times. It's important to us that we maintain our investment grade rating, which we expect to do, and our ability to generate free cash flow should allow for rapid delevering. And now, Tom will add some additional thoughts. Tom?
Thanks, Stuart. Yeah, just a few things before we take some questions. You know, the acquisition of Keystone Foods is an important step in our next stage of growth. Their portfolio complements ours greatly with value-added products serving food service, retail, and convenience store channels in addition to the retail periphery or the deli section. Keystone is a solid foundation for international growth with established profitable businesses in fast-growing markets. And as Stuart pointed out, it's a financially compelling transaction. So we foresee significant ongoing benefits to Tyson and our shareholders, and both companies, customers, and team members will benefit. Keystone will further promote our strategy to sustainably feed the world with the fastest-growing protein brands and we're very excited about this transaction and look forward to taking your questions. That concludes my remarks, so we can open up the line.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please limit yourself to one question and one follow-up. If you have further questions, you may re-enter the question queue. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Heather Jones with the Vertical Group. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Congratulations on the acquisition.
Thanks,
I apologize for background noise. I'm in an airport. So was wondering if you could give us a sense of what percentage of revenue is represented by the top five customers?
You know, we're not going to break out that. We don't do it for our, you know, existing business, and we're not going to do it for any acquired assets. What I will say, of course, we know that McDonald's is a large customer. There are a number of other food service QSRs. It is fairly concentrated, but the important thing to understand about this, particularly internationally, we see this as a tremendous platform to continue to grow, not just within food service, by the way, also into retail markets, and, you know, really a platform for us for tremendous expansion internationally. We won't give you the full, you know, percentage breakout, but it is a, you know, definitely concentrated.
Okay, and I was wondering on the synergy number, and I know that you guys tend to be conservative when you provide initial synergy guidance. You've done that in the past. And this figure seems relatively conservative as well. And so I'm just wondering, is it conservatism, or does the cost-plus nature of some of the business limit the synergy potential?
I'll say a few things, and Stuart can add some color here. You know, Heather, one of the things that we are known for, have been known for since the acquisition of Hillshire and then Advanced Pierre and follow-on acquisitions, is being, I think, very good at and effective at delivering cost savings. We want to make sure that this business continues to grow and grow rapidly. So we are, you could call it conservative, but I would just say it's early to understand the full synergies. Once we get into full swing planning, as we started some planning already, we will understand what the full opportunity is, but we think that that's the right number to focus on for the moment. And, you know, just finish where I started. It's all about, you know, growing the business. Stuart?
Yeah, I'd echo that point, Tom. This is a real platform for growth, particularly the Asian part of the business, which for us is the beginnings of something I think that we can really expand. So I wouldn't underestimate that. And the need to make sure that we've got the right organization behind it. The second thing I would point out is we are very, very focused on returns. When we spend investor money, we make sure that investors get money back. And I'm pleased to say that by year three, we expect to see that we'll be passing our cost of capital in terms of the return coming out of this acquisition.
Okay, thanks so much.
Our next question comes from Farah Aslam with Stephens Inc. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Tim on for Farah. I just wanted to ask, what is Keystone's DNA and what's the incremental DNA that Tyson will expect to experience from this transaction?
Well, we haven't released those details yet. I will obviously be working through our own goodwill, which we have a good estimate of. It's safe to say that the new depreciation and amortization will be higher as a result of, you know, the brand and customer assets that we'll put on our balance sheet. I would really focus on what are the returns of the business. We think there's going to be a good, strong return coming from this business, and that's where we're focused as a management team. What
okay,
sort
great.
Of cash earnings is this business going to drive on the investment that we've made?
Okay, great. And just one follow-up. Can you compare and contrast Keystone's sales mix by channel versus Tyson's chicken segment as a whole?
You know, the sales mix, Tim, is greatly food service, right? So there's very small retail business. We see it as an opportunity, not just in the U.S., but also internationally. You know, that different than Tyson's current business, our business is equally divided between retail and food service, essentially. And so it is much more heavily food service dependent, and that is a growing sector, particularly internationally.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from David Palmer with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
So I just a follow-up. With regard to Asia, I assume so goes the likes of McDonald's and KFC, maybe Burger King in China specifically, that is how this growth area of your Asia business will go. Is that fair to assume?
Not necessarily. You know, that is a growth element. I think all the customers that are current customers, and by the way, customers we don't have today, have expansive, you know, ideas as it relates to growing in Asia. And so, but beyond that, we have assets in this deal that can serve other markets. So we talked in our prepared remarks about Africa, the Middle East, and Europe, and those are areas where we want to continue to expand. So it's not just about China.
With regard to the historic growth, could you talk about that historic growth of Keystone? And I assume your synergies do not include what revenue synergies you may be thinking of internally, but could you speak to ways that you can, that joining these two assets together can accelerate growth for your food service business?
Yeah, so in terms of the historical growth...
On the historical side, guys, I'd just go back to some of the Marfrig financials. I think you've seen that this is a business that has a strong historic track record, and we expect to be able to drive that similarly on a going forward basis. Relative to the other pieces, I'll leave that to Tom.
Yeah, so the other pieces of our business are really in the Asia. There's very few. We don't talk about it a lot, but we have three plants in China, and we have a joint venture in India. So there's really not a lot that comes together, the China business for sure. But beyond that, it's all upside. And the way to think about this, as we think about it, is the platform for us to build a true international business. So potentially acquiring additional assets and, you know, being in a position to have a true scaled international platform. So that's the way that I'd like our investors to view this.
Yeah, the only other thing I'd add to that is just that when you look at the kind of business that we're acquiring, it has large global kinds of customers with whom we have good, strong relationships, and it is the kind of business operation that we are intimately familiar with. So our ability to execute against that, against those customer needs is very, very strong. And in starting to build an international business, that's a great place for us to start because we bring the kind of capability that's going to be necessary to make that successful. And then we can take that platform and build, you know, other kinds of opportunities around it.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Jeremy Scott with Mizuho. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. On the valuation, 8.3 times EBITDA inclusive of synergies, that's still above where Tyson trades today. So I just wanted to ask why this acquisition made sense compared to some of your capital alternatives.
Well, I mean, I think it's sort of in the zone. I think if you looked at where our price has been and where our trading multiple has been, you're picking a moment in time, a time at which the industry is under a lot of pressure. So that part's probably a little unfair. We think this is a great asset. We think it's a great buy, and we think it's going to have a strong return for shareholders. We have been pretty consistent, I would say, over the passage of time in being able to execute big deals and pull the other capital levers in the business. And Tom and I have been fairly consistent on that. We've got a great set of capital, internal capital, CapEx investments that are going to have a strong return. If you look back over the last 3 years, we've spent $3.3 billion on buying back stock. At the same time, we've been able to execute big acquisitions. So I wouldn't say that we're limited to anyone other than to say that, you know, we have strongly focused on making sure that this investor group gets a good return.
Great. It seems to me that a major asset of Keystone is the intangible value of their relationships with the key customers that you mentioned. Is there a concern that your customers would address the risk of concentration of their suppliers and maybe pursue more diversification? What are your thoughts around that?
You know, we have great relationships today, as you know. Jeremy, I would say that what this does is build on it. Do customers get concerned about concentration? For sure, but I think that's the extent that they have, single plant focus, or, they don't have a supply chain that they can count on to serve them, in times of distress. And so for us, we believe that this actually bolsters our position, certainly with all customers, but I think particularly with those ones that are, key customers today, we are better positioned, and I think as a combined company, be a more effective supplier for all the customers.
Right. And maybe lastly, just your confidence level in regulatory approval and if there's any breakage fee we need to be thinking about.
Yeah, this is absolutely, subject to those closing conditions and regulatory approvals. We are looking forward to engaging. We think that right now there's no reason for us to talk about anything other than, approval. But we are focused on that, as we always are, and we'll do our best to make sure that we keep you updated.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Akshay Jagdal with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, and congrats on the deal. I wanted to ask about, obviously international is a growth platform for Keystone, but, the history at Tyson as far as international goes is being choppy at best, right? So can you expand a little bit on sort of why you think this platform is viable for you guys to make money internationally going forward? The history is really what I'm concerned about, but if you could answer that, that'd be great.
Yeah, thanks, Akshay. The company makes money today in those markets, so that is not our position today at Tyson, so we are excited to learn. Why do they have a better position than we do? I would say, first of all, it was designed hand-in-hand with the customers. They are focused on, building the markets together. We got a bit of a different entry as it relates to our business, and so they, importantly, are profitable today, and we're interested in, the combination of the businesses, how they'll make the total even more profitable, so that's where it starts.
I would say, just to add to that, there's a terrific management team in Asia, really strong group of people, and they have demonstrated a consistent track record of successful growth, and that's part of what we're buying into.
Got it. And then just as a follow-up, how do you think of the value-added strategy that you have in relationship to absolute margins of either the, the businesses you acquire or the businesses you have, right? The beauty about it, I think, the Keystone business over time has been that if the volatility on their margins is very low, but the absolute margin profile is also relatively low, right? So can you help me put that into perspective from your point of view as it relates to your overall value-added strategy?
Yeah, actually, you just think about this as an asset that does further position us in, of course, more value-added products. As we've talked about, value-added does carry less volatility. So in addition to expanding new geographies, scale synergy, new capabilities, this does put us in a position to have less volatility in the total, chicken business. The margin structure, we are happy with the margin structure, and it's something we want to continue to build on. We will focus on cost and revenue and scale in order to drive, even better margins. But today we are happy with the margins that are being produced in this business.
And one last one. With just a follow-up to a question earlier on the synergy number, why is $50 million the right number? I mean, 2% of acquired company sales. I know 35% of their business is international, but even if you exclude that, the overlap in the U.S. is significant, right? You have the same customer base, the manufacturing base is similar as well. So why is the number relatively low compared to what we see in typical transactions that approach, 9-10% of sales?
So we are starting from a point of making sure that we focus on what are the key areas that we think could be waste between the two companies that needs to be taken out, or redundancy. And right now, as we see it, there is a tremendous opportunity given the team that they have, Stuart pointed out, not just in Asia, but also in the U.S., to understand how we can accelerate, you know, the growth and not put a number out there that assumes that, you know, that there is going to be 100% redundancy. I can't believe that there will be. So we're very excited about, you know, getting into more conversations with the team, you know, driving discussions around how we build, you know, collective business. And so we're not in the position right now for us to go further than that $50
million. All right, I'll pass on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Rob Moskow with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Historically, I do think this business had some volatility or some negative impact from Asian bans on leg quarters, and maybe those bans are not an issue now. But can you tell me, just in light of all the export kind of tariffs that are out there, has there been any kind of pressure on this business overall from this new environment? And then I have a follow-up.
No, I can't say that, you know, we necessarily see that, Rob, but to think about how we approach our business, currently we do have great markets for exporting leg quarters. We are internalizing a lot of that dark meat for our own first-run production. We will continue to leverage that capability with this asset as we become the owners, and so I think that is more of an opportunity. And but that's anything to add on that, sir?
No, anything I would say is, using leg quarters is less of an issue in Asia, where leg quarters are actually desirable. So that there's a big chunk of operation over there, and that will obviously be able to use that part of the business to use up these parts of the chicken.
Okay, great. So no pressure on the business today from all that. And then second question was, you know, this business, from what I remember, like it was the personal relationships that made it so strong. Like the salespeople, the management teams, their relationships with McDonald's and their big customers, and as you said, Stuart, especially in Asia, were a big part of the asset value. What can you do to make sure that those assets, you know, those personal assets, stay within the business? And what have you done so far? What do you think you will need to do going forward?
You know, as any deal that we enter into, we look at the key personnel. Certainly, we want to make sure that we retain those key personnel. And so the way to do that is by having those individual discussions, but also talking about the reason why it's important for their future to think about Tyson Foods as a place for them to grow with their careers. Completely agree, Rob, that those folks that are both in the U.S. and in Asia have been great relationship builders. I would say in the U.S., we have an excellent relationship with the key customers as well. And in Asia, we're looking to, you know, build upon those relationships and grow rather than just, you know, simply retain the folks in the existing business. So I think we have a pretty strong proposition to sell them the idea of being a part of the Tyson Foods growth platform. And we are focused on making sure we do retain those key individuals that have been so important to the company's success.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Ken Zaslow with BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, Ken. Morning.
A couple questions. One is, how fast is a non-McDonald's business growing?
Well, we haven't broken that out separately, Ken. I think we probably wouldn't do that.
Because I was under the impression that would probably be the big growth aspect to the business. So you have this base business of McDonald's, and then I thought that there was the non-McDonald's is kind of the engine there. That's why I was just trying to figure out if it's growing, okay, you know, double digits or something like that. That's kind of how I was just kind of thinking about it. But I don't know if there's any color you can add to that.
Yeah, sorry, Ken, Tom. In terms of how it has been growing, let's maybe move away from that. Right. Talk about how we see the model going forward. That is the opportunity, not just customers, but also markets. So there's a tremendous exporting capability that the business has today, and we are going to leverage that in addition to sales teams in countries. So yeah, you could expect that, you know, going forward, a lot of the company's growth will be with existing company customers, but also really pushing into new markets, new customers.
Ken, the only thing I would add is I think if you look at this business relative to our own business, this business has more customer concentration than our existing business. So our relationship set is going to be broad, and I think we're going to use that, try to leverage that relationship set to broaden the platform that we have here.
Okay. And then is there a material difference between the EBITDA margins between the U.S. and non-U.S. business?
Not material difference. It really depends on geography. Some of the Asian geographies actually look very positive.
Okay, and my last question is, what percentage of the contracts are, you know, more similar to you guys where you don't really have fixed contracts, right? My understanding is this business is largely not prone to the commodity volatility. Would you say like a three quarters? Is that a fair representation that is not influenced by the commodity market? Is that a fair representation?
I would say, Ken, there's certainly a portion. This every business ultimately is going to have some impact from meat prices and from grains. So let's start with that. I would say that this business has more insulation than pure, you know, commodity businesses. But I would, you know, at this early point, I'd hesitate to start breaking that apart. It's going to have a similar kind of profile that, you know, that our food service business has in poultry.
Great. Hey, I appreciate
more
it.
More insulated than less.
Perfect. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ben Thurr with Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking our question and congratulations on your acquisition. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, Marfrig was mentioning early at 2.4 billion EV value. So I was wondering, could you give us more light on the difference between this figure and the 2.16 billion?
Yeah, look, I mean, what we know is the amount of money that we are paying for what Keystone owns, and that is 2.16 billion. There's some adjustments from the 2.4. Probably a better question really for the Marfrig team, but I know that one of the drivers of that difference is the minority interest that they don't own in the business. So like I said, what Keystone owns is what we're buying, and that price is 2.16 billion.
Okay. Perfect. And a follow-up question is, how are you going to consolidate Keystone Foods from a business segment perspective?
So let's talk about two different parts here. One is the U.S., and it's going to be, you know, in the U.S., most of the sales are chicken. And so going to the chicken segment, there is a portion of fish that's also in the U.S. as well as in other countries. But that'll be largely in the U.S. a part of the chicken business that we have today and in the chicken segment. Internationally, it's going to put us in a position to, you know, in fact, have a true international business. It is multi-protein, and that would be separate. So the integration in terms of teams, you know, largely separate, you know, international, but then the U.S. team would be one over time.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Michael Lavery with Piper Jaffray. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
So just want to confirm, am I understanding right that the entire international piece is in Asia? And especially if so, can you just explain what is different with these assets or this business that you're talking about how you're better positioned for in Europe and Africa?
Yeah, so there's much more export opportunity. They're not just in China, so there's assets in China, but also Malaysia, Thailand, and Australia. And so there's an asset in South Korea. There's much more to this than just the assets that are in China, which maybe sounds like some of you may have the impression that it's focused on just China. So those markets export today. Those plants export today into additional markets outside of Asia, and we are looking to expand, you know, how much they export and to send our teams into new customers, new countries to grow that business very aggressively.
I think if you looked at the nature, if you looked at the nature of the business, I mean, China, as we all know, is growing very rapidly. That business is poised to sort of piggyback on that growth of the country. Thailand, as a geography, is a big exporter to Europe. And if you go to Europe, you'll see a lot of product coming from there. We've got the ability to expand that operation. And Malaysia is perfectly positioned to exploit the exports to Middle East and North Africa. So I think each of the geographies has a unique aspect to them that we'll be able to really build upon.
Okay, great. Thanks. And then just on the retail opportunity internationally, you said there's a little bit of it now. Could you just touch on how quickly you might ramp that up, or what some of those products might be, or just how you see some of that evolving? Would it be primarily organic or inorganic, or a bit of both?
It could be a bit of both, but I'd say today there are three what we call our discovery center or innovation labs that are located internationally. They do great products for food service customers, but they also have a lot of innovation that they've been focusing on driving more retail expansion. So it's leveraging that and what we know about driving retail growth and innovation. And from a company that's been predominantly food service focused, bringing our capabilities as it relates to retail and also maybe acquiring new talent that helps us expand. So it's based on their sort of their nascent effort in retail, expanding that through some investment and growing it inorganically in addition to acquisitions.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question is a follow-up from Heather Jones with the Vertical Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks so much for taking the follow-up. Just two quick questions. When you talk about it's going to be accretive in year one, excluding the step-up in D&A, are you going to be presenting it as in that way in your press releases?
Heather, I would just say at this point we haven't taken a specific decision on that. We just wanted to point out that there's a big D&A load that's going to come with this just because of the goodwill in the deal. As I mentioned earlier, our real focus here is to make sure we're getting bottom line return for shareholders, and that has got to be front and center.
And then my second follow-up is just, I was wondering, assume you did this deal, you had discussions with some of these large customers, such as McDonald's, and was wondering, did they give any caveats to giving the blessing? Are they going to talk about any rebidding out of this business, or is it they were fine with this?
Yeah, we don't generally talk about our customer relations and discussions. I will tell you, though, that our customers have been very supportive of everything that we're doing, inclusive of acquiring, specifically as it relates to Keystone. We don't expect that to be any different. And so we're very excited about our customer reaction and looking forward to getting to closing as quickly as we can so we can add the value that they know we can add.
Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Our next question is another follow-up from Rob Moskow with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi. The Marfrig announcement said that Marfrig's retaining the beef business that was part of Keystone. Were you interested in the beef business at all?
Yeah, the beef, we are acquiring beef assets in Australia. The beef assets in the U.S. are not as strategic to us, the beef patty business. So that is something that, you know, of course, as we went through the negotiation of the deal, that was something that was excluded, and we were absolutely fine with that.
So it was there. They wanted to hold on to that, is what you're saying.
They did.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Tom Hayes for any closing remarks.
Okay. Well, thanks for those of you that are able to join us on short notice. Really appreciate it. Great questions. We're extremely excited about this. Look forward to talking about it more as we, learn more about the business and also as we move towards close, and of course we'll keep you updated. Thanks for your interest as always, and have a fantastic day.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.